Good morning, boys and girls. Exodus chapter 20. We're on the second commandment today. And let me just read it to you. We're reading the verses 4, 5, and 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we begin our look at this second commandment. Just before we come to it, I noticed in my Bible reading this morning, I have a date at the top of the chapters that I have to read so that I can be sure I'm following the correct order. And I noticed that tomorrow's chapters, I have jotted in my conversion. Because tomorrow is the date upon which I was converted 59 years ago as a wee while, and I must give thanks to the Lord for his kindness and mercy throughout those 59 years. There wasn't one second of those years, but the Lord was there to bless, to help, to uphold. But let me give you another date. Granny Foster, who was the principal here for many years, the founding principal here, this year she will be saved 72 years, for she was converted as a little girl of just 4 years and some months. So that's a long time to be on the path to heaven and rejoicing in the Lord. She could equally say there was not one second of those 72 years that the Lord failed her, but he was ever there to bless her. So, starting off with that note of thanksgiving and praise, we look now at this second commandment. I'm going to look just at the first part of the second commandment. Let me read that to you again. Please look at verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. A graven image is what we might call a carved image. A graven image is something that is cut out of stone with a hammer and a chisel. An image of an animal, an image of an angel, the supposed image of the Lord himself. Well, God says you're not to do that. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. Let me start by saying that what I want to underscore in our study today is that how we worship the Lord is not up to ourselves. God tells us how we are to worship him. Men think, you know, that, oh, this would be a good idea if we did this in church. But we're not free to launch new ideas about worship. We can only worship God to his pleasing if we worship him the way he wants to be worshipped. We're quite used to that principle. I remember on one occasion, this is quite a number of years ago now, after the bomb in Enniskillen, which you may have heard of, in which, in the end, 11 people were murdered, innocent people, standing on Remembrance Day at the war memorial in Enniskillen, and the IRA detonated a bomb without warning, and those people killed, and many people badly injured. Well, one who was a member of the congregation here was amongst those injured. And I went in to visit her, and as I was going in, I heard that a very important person was coming to the hospital that day to visit those who had been injured. Now, I was under the impression that it was the Prime Minister, who back then was Mrs. Margaret Thatcher. And when I went in, I was determined to confront her, if that was possible. Because the policy of her government was largely to blame for the bombing, because the British government then and still did not allow the security forces to act as they should against the IRA. They were held back so that they didn't wipe out the IRA as they could have. So I was going to protest to Mrs. Thatcher that day if I got the opportunity. And so I went in to visit this lady, and I was determined to stay a long time, as long as it took. In fact, I said to her when I come in, I said, "You are going to have the longest hospital visit that anybody has ever had, because I'm staying here until this important person that's rumoured to be coming today comes." Well, in the end, it turned out it wasn't Mrs. Thatcher. It was the one who is now King Charles III. He was Prince Charles back then, and his wife, Diana, who was sadly killed, as we know, in a motor accident. They were the ones touring the hospital. So I was sitting there, and when I had been there, I suppose, for maybe an hour or two, an official from Buckingham Palace came over to me and said, "When His Royal Highness comes, here is how you have to greet him." Well, I told him a thing or two, which I'll not repeat now, telling him that I didn't need to be told by some flunky from Buckingham Palace how to be respectful. But the important thing is this: there is a way in which you speak to royalty. You don't say to a royal personage who comes up to you, "How you doing today? You all right?" No, you wouldn't just say that to them. "You're looking well." No, 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 there is a proper way to address them, and he was there to tell me how to do that. And listen, there's a proper way to come before the Lord and to worship him, and we need instructed in how to do that. And it's in the Bible that we are told. The Lord says here, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." You see, men believe that it's helpful to make an image of God. That'll help them to worship. I have to mention the Roman Catholic Church. It's full of statues. In fact, there was a lady, a Roman Catholic lady, who was a nurse at the time, and she was going out with a Protestant lad who was unconverted and ungodly. But she took an interest one occasion. She wanted to go to a Protestant church. And they went down to Bundoran to a dance, first of all. And it was a Sabbath evening. And when it came up to church time, she said, "Look, I want to go to a Protestant church." And they found a wee Methodist church in Bundoran. And you know what struck her particularly when she entered in to the little Methodist church? Now, this is a way back 50 years ago, maybe more. But what she noticed when she went in was no statues. She was used to coming in to a building whenever she went to worship in her Roman Catholic chapel that was filled with statues. Statues of Mary, of Christ, of angels, of saints. But in the little Methodist church, no statues. That's what Protestantism teaches, because that's what the Bible teaches. Thou shalt not make. But men think, "Oh, but if I had an image of God, that would help me to worship God." Well, if you make an image of the one you think is God, all that image will do is mislead you. Mislead you. Not help you to think of God as he is, but it will prompt you to think of God as he is not. because no one has seen God. And you can't draw a picture of someone you haven't seen. You can't make an image of someone you haven't seen. And if you try to make an image of someone you haven't seen, it's not going to be like them at all. It's going to give to you the wrong impression of who that person is and what they are like. You cannot fashion a likeness of one you have never seen. We can't draw a picture of Christ. That's why I would be always opposed to the use of any drawings or likenesses to Christ, because it's not like him. It's not like him. There's no description in the Gospels of what the Lord Jesus looked like, how tall he was, or anything like that. We're told of his love, we're told of his mercy, we're told of the mission that he came to carry out, we're told of his death, we're told of his resurrection, we're told of his ascension to glory, but we're not told what he physically looked like. Therefore, when people make an image, a likeness, and make crucifixes and place on that cross an image of one they say is Christ, that's wrong. It's wrong. And it's forbidden of God. In Exodus chapter 33 and the verse 20, God says this, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." That was an answer to Moses' request. Moses said, "Let me see thy glory." And in asking that, he asks what is in the heart of every believer. We want to see the Lord. We want to see his beauty. We want to see his glory. But the Lord said to Moses, "No man can see my face and live. Such is my presence, my glory, that in our human body we could not stand such a view." And as you know, Moses on that day was only allowed to see the Lord departing away from him. The Lord covered Moses in the crevice of the rock and passed him by. And when he was passed, he lifted his hand, as it were, and Moses just saw the tail, the train of God's glory. Didn't see anything detailed of God himself. Didn't see his face. It's not until we get to heaven that we will see the face of God. We will see God in heaven, but in heaven we will have a new body and we will be glorified and we will be made ready to see the Lord. It comes to my mind the night he was arrested and they came looking for him. They said, "We're here to arrest Jesus of Nazareth." And the Lord Jesus said, "I am he." And what happened? They all fell back, knocked to the ground, just by the sounding of that name, that glorious name of God, "I am." God said to Moses, way, way, way back, "What's your name?" said Moses. "I am that I am." Now, that's a name that incorporates the eternal power of God. "I am that I am." And when the Lord Jesus in the garden said, "I am," such was the power, just in the mentioning of that name, they fell back, fainted, collapsed. Oh, no one can see God, no one knows what God looks like, and we are thus forbidden to make a likeness of him, because what we would make is anything but like God. We must depend upon what the Bible tells us about God, and we form our view of him on the Bible's information, what the Bible tells us. The Lord Jesus on one occasion said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Those who looked at the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry saw in the Saviour the likeness of his Father. In every word he spoke, in every action that he took, there was a likeness of the Father. Think of all the things the Savior did, the healings, the miraculous works of his hand, all this was conveying what the Father was like. Now you and I have never looked on the Lord Jesus as did the people who lived at the time of his ministry. They saw him with their eyes. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And I can imagine the multitude there turning when he said that and looking in the direction he was pointing, and they saw the Lord Jesus. But you and I have not had that privilege. But you and I can still see the Lord Jesus when we read our Bible. And you'll not see him on any wooden crucifix or stone statue. You will only see him as he is set forth in his glory in the Word of God. That's where we see the Savior's love, the Savior's mercy, the Savior's kindness, the Savior explaining why it is he came into this world, the Savior's death, the Savior's resurrection. Everything about the Savior that God would have you to know is in the Bible and nowhere else. Man thinks it's helpful to make an image, and in doing that, he defies God. He disobeys God. He offends God. Now, let me come to some of the pictures in the primary classroom. I'm not particularly referring to any one picture, but over the years, I have seen drawings, and underneath, "My Daddy." And Daddy looks a bit like a spider. He's all thin, scriggly. "My Daddy." It's not really like the Daddy, sure it's not. It's the best the little artist could do. But you wouldn't recognize that little artist's Daddy from that drawing. Well, I want to tell you this. That little drawing of Daddy is better and closer to a true likeness of Daddy than are the images that men make of the Lord Jesus or any other personage. Oh, how wrong men would be to try and do this. Then, let me say something else. Israel, the nation of Israel, illustrates just how inclined man is to image making. I quoted from Exodus chapter 32. If you would care to turn it up once again, at the beginning of that chapter, we read these words. Verse 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount," where he was obtaining the Ten Commandments at that time, "when they saw he was up there a long time, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, we know not what has become of him.' And Aaron said unto them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which they had in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy God.'" A calf, a young cow, this is God. How wrong that was. And how quickly they did that. Moses had only gone up into Mount Sinai. He was there a number of days, as you know. And after a number of days passed, they said, "We don't know what's happened to him. Make us a likeness of God." And they made a calf. What person in their right mind would think that God looks like a calf? And yet Aaron did it. And the people followed him in that. Tell you, boys and girls, that readiness on the part of Israel to make an image, to make a calf, supposedly of God, illustrates how ready man is. Of all the people on the face of the earth that ought not to have made a golden calf, it was Israel. And they continued to do that evil thing right up to the days of Jeremiah, when Judah and Jerusalem were carried away captive, and they were carried away captive because they persisted in idol making and idol worship and setting up their idols in the temple of God. This we can read in Jeremiah chapter 32, the verses 31 to 35. That's what God said. Here's why the judgment's coming. You have made abominations, which is another term for idols. You have made abominations and set them up in my house. Men are inclined to do that. In today's world, there are any amount of houses that are supposed to be dedicated unto the Lord, and they're full of food of idols. And people get before them and bow down and do that which God forbids. It's seen in every religion. Not only that religion which comes under the name of Christianity, but in every religion we see that men make idols. Men make idols. Our Prime Minister is an idol worshipper. He's a Hindu. None of you are old enough to remember something that happened way back in 1995. Way back in 1995, there was a worldwide phenomenon. Hindu people were carrying buckets of milk to the stone images of their god and pouring the milk upon their god because they thought their god was thirsty and liked to drink milk. And it all started because a man in India who, in worshipping this idol, brought some milk. And he says, the idol drunk the milk. The idol is in the form of an elephant, or an elephant's head anyway. And he put a cup of milk to the trunk, the stone trunk of this elephant. And according to him, some of the milk disappeared. Now the image is a concrete one. If you go up to my backyard, you'll see a whole area of concrete. Probably the same of some measure at your house. And when it rains, puddles form. But when it stops raining, in an hour or two, no puddles. Why? The concrete has soaked it away. And I have no doubt that a concrete statue with an elephant's head sitting in the baking sun of India, if you put liquid to it, it would soak it up like a sponge. But that doesn't mean that stone statue is drinking. Doesn't mean that at all. Any more than the bath sponge, when you put it in water, takes in the water. Oh, it's alive, it's alive. No, it's not. It's just a sponge. And I would say that's what happened in India that made that man think it. If he didn't just downright tell a lie, which is also very possible. But anyway, across the world, Hindus everywhere. On the news, we watched it. Back in 1995, in England, and many other places, Hindus worshipping this stone image and rejoicing that it was drinking milk. Oh, how foolish. And we don't mock those poor people, we pity them, that they're so blind as to think what they do. But what they do is most foolish indeed. But then when you depart from the word of God, all you can do is act foolishly. And if you're not saved today, you're acting foolishly. The greatest of all folly is to continue in your sin and down the road to hell in defiance of what the Bible has to say. Oh, boys and girls, when you think of the poor idol worshippers and maybe you smile at them, stand in front of a mirror if you're not saved and say, there's someone even more foolish, even more foolish. This folly then, that God here says must not be engaged in making of idols. It's common today. Common today. And let me just say this in closing. This folly of idol making will be seen in the last days of this age when men will worship another man. They will make a god of a man. If making a god of a stone elephant is folly and wrong, then it's even more foolish to make an image of a man. We can look at a man and we can see his weakness, we can see his foolishness, we can see his limitations, and to make a god of a man is the very height of folly. I'll read to you famous verses in 2 Thessalonians, verses that I hope you will ever bear in mind, because the days in which these verses will be fulfilled or drawing on. We're reading in 2 Thessalonians, the chapter 2, and the verses 3 and 4 read like this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that's the day of the Lord, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's going to happen in the last days. And if you are alive at that time, you'll hear about it. You'll hear about it. And you'll hear the call that will go out, worship this man. He's God. He's God. Not Jesus Christ. Not Jehovah. This is God. And you're to worship him. That's what's going to happen. Because the world is in defiance of God's law. And the world loves to make idols. The world loves to make idols. And attempt to worship God in a fashion that pleases them. Oh, listen to God's word, boys and girls, and live by it. Let's bow in prayer. We do thank thee, Lord, for your mercy and kindness. We thank thee for the plain instruction that we have here as to how to worship thee. Lord, may we ever observe what thou dost say to us about worship, and never go beyond or fall short of the teaching of thy precious word. Bless the boys and girls today. May they stand in reverence of God's truth and seek to obey it. Bless our school and all its needs, and all that have already been prayed for in this our assembly. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.